Welcome in another recruiting recap podcast. Doing this a little bit earlier in the month this time because there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the recruiting world with Xavier basketball. I'm Rick. The legend Brian Snow is on the line. Snow, let's jump right into it, starting with we've talked so much about how big of a class this is going to be for Xavier, how many prospects they're looking to take. Where do you see it now? I mean, we started at like four. We've bounced around from four to six. What is your guess of where they're going to end up?
At this point, I almost think the target is six. Now, like, it's really difficult to do. Probably the best way to get six is to get five early and one late. Now, is that realistically possible? Yeah, I don't know. But I almost think that they're going to want six and certainly need five. So this is going to be as big a class as they've had since, you know, the Trayvon class, which Larry made up to six late. So it's going to be as big a class as the school scene. I think maybe Lenny Brown's class was six or seven guys, but this class is going to be huge.
It obviously, you know, they're involved with transfer like Charles Matthews. If he commits, that does change things a little bit, right? We drop down to a five.
Yeah, I think you would drop it to a minimum of four and an ideal of five. I think they want six new faces eligible for the 2017-2018 season.
Yep, I would agree. And the biggest thing there, like you said, though, is it just gets so hard when you start getting that. I mean, to get six kids, you'd almost have to take some kids who aren't good enough. It's going to be difficult to get six kids to agree to come together in the same class because you're already one of those are not going to be, quote unquote, have a chance to start. You know, someone's going to have to be sitting out if you have six. So probably not, it's going to be tough to get to that number, but I agree that that's where the target's sitting. So with that being said, if you're looking for six guys, what are the biggest needs? What do you see them in terms of position looking for?
You know, and obviously everything with positions is relative, but I think they want one point guard / combo guard. They want two wings, two forwards, one of which is Jordan Ritter, and then one big. And I, you know, maybe if they can get a second big somehow, you take away a forward or something like that. But I certainly think that they need everything. They want everything. They're recruiting like they need everything. And that's the direction they're really looking in right now.
If you're a forward, though, I mean, just looking at this roster, the one thing they do kind of have in the mix right now is Eddie Ekior, Tyreek Jones, Kaiser Gates. Do you think they're going to get two forwards legitimately in this class?
I would put Ekior and Jones more as bigs.
Bigs, I agree. And I think we have to talk about the direction of how Xavier's been playing and utilizing their personnel on the court. Realistically, it's been more five perimeter or four perimeter players, whether that's a, you know, 6'7" guy that can shoot like maybe a Ritter, or if that's a Trayvon Blewett, who's more of like kind of a wingish forward type player. That's what the four is going to look like, I think, for the most part going forward. They want versatility. They want perimeter skills. They want shooting. And then they're going to have a bruiser banger down low at the five. So, yeah, I would agree with you with Ekior and Jones. So sort of keep that in mind when we're talking about forwards. That can mean a few different things here with that lineup. I think there's less of a focus on position and putting players in a specific box and more of a focus on that guy can play, he's big enough, and he's skilled enough, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, and also, I don't think this is even something that's Xavier-specific. It's just the way basketball's going.
True, yeah, no doubt about that. So I think getting into specific targets, there's some names that there's a lot of stuff going on right now with a few certain guys, and I think the biggest name right now in that mix is Najee Marshall. Just a really talented kid that I think we both really like, and the staff really likes him. Versatile, can do a lot of different things, could play multiple positions, can guard multiple positions. You've been talking to a lot of different people about this one. It seems to be a difficult recruitment to get a read on right now. We've talked about it some on the message board. What's your latest take on the Najee Marshall recruitment?
Yeah, you know, I've talked to everybody on all sides of this deal. The vibe I get right now is that the kid wants to play out July, see if Maryland offers. If he does get that offer, I think Maryland's going to be tough to beat. But if he doesn't, I think Xavier's probably the team to beat. Unless, you know, a Duke or a Kentucky comes in, and he's not that level kid. I don't anticipate that. But obviously that's not exactly ideal news for Xavier. They wanted to get this locked up before July. I still think there's a chance that that happens. I just don't think there's a good one. Now, where this gets really interesting is certain people close to Najee will tell you, no, we don't want him going to Maryland. He doesn't need to be that close to home. They, you know, they're 10 minutes from his house, and they haven't even recruited him hard. And then other people will tell you that's where he's going to go if they offer. So it's really an interesting thing where there doesn't seem to be a consensus, and Najee himself isn't doing a lot of talking right now, even to college coaches. He's got a visit to Pittsburgh coming up. I don't think they're a huge threat, but you never know. Get a kid on campus. So that one's just all over the board. I think Xavier's done the best job. I think Xavier leads. I think that's the school he likes the most. But it's always dangerous when a kid's waiting on a specific program and that program knows it. Now, with Maryland, they took a bunch of forwards in the 2016 class. So they're trying to swing for the fences with a kid like MJ Walker as their wing out of Georgia. And how long are they willing to wait on MJ? How long is Najee willing to wait on Maryland? I don't think we know that yet. As I said, Xavier would, in their perfect world, they have this done on June 30th and feel good about their life. But until then, it's a really unique situation right now, and one that is not exactly comforting if you're the Xavier staff.
Yeah, and I think Najee is important in a lot of ways to this class just because of his versatility is so – I mean, he's, again, another guy I feel like you can take right away. And you know you got a kid who's super talented. It's the type of kid you want. But he also – you can sell him – I mean, if you want to take a 3 next, you can sell him that Najee wasn't a 3. If you want to take a 2 next, you sell him that Najee wasn't a – I mean, you can tell people that Najee is whatever position you want essentially at this point because he's kind of got that versatility. So I do think he is an important commitment for a few different reasons. Another name that we've been talking a lot about, this is the transfer Charles Matthews from Kentucky. He just visited this weekend. He's already visited Michigan, did that last weekend. I don't think there's like a lot of information coming out since he visited the two schools. And I was on campus while he was visiting. I met him and his mother. It's a and his dad too, actually. But it's a situation where it wasn't like a lot of times you get in when it's down to like the final two schools or whatever, and you're going to make the visits because look, you've built a relationship with that staff. You're not going to just blow them off and not take the visit like you told them you would, but you maybe already have your mind made up about where you're going to go. Like, for instance, if he knew he wanted to go to Michigan, he might still take that Xavier visit, but you just kind of get the feeling that there's no shot. I don't think that was the case here. I think, you know, I think the quote I heard from the visit from them was that it's going to be a tough decision. And so I think they're still deciding. I don't know what that means in terms of his timeline. Everyone seems to think that it'll decide pretty quickly. But I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on Michigan or Xavier for Charles Matthews?
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a ton of optimism out of Xavier's camp right now, at least. In general, that's typically not a great sign. But Charles is a kid. He's kind of kept it quiet with everybody from the beginning. So I think something comes quick. I would say probably next week or two. But as of right now, I don't have a great feel. If you were to put a gun to my head, I would guess Michigan. But I don't know that by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, like I legitimately think he was going to go home after this, and they were still going to talk about where he was going. Like, I don't think there was a consensus decision made before he left Xavier. And I could be wrong on that, obviously. I don't know what his family is talking about, but that was the vibe that I got. So it'll be interesting to track that one. What is sort of your take on Matthews? I mean, I think there's some importance here, not just for getting him in 2017, but really, like, it would be nice to have another practice body sitting out this year that's kind of a high-level athlete, I think, just to give them some more help in practice so they can do some more live stuff. Any thoughts on Charles Matthews as a player and what his addition would mean?
As a player, I just get concerned with kids that seem to have peaked early, which he did. But at the same time, he does have talent. He is versatile. He showed glimpses at Kentucky of being able to be a good player. So as a player, I think it would be a solid get for Xavier, certainly one I would take if I could get. But at the same time, I don't think he'd be like this immediate, like, leads the world, leads Xavier to the Big East title for the first time type of thing. What's funny is the question that Xavier has right now about next season has absolutely – they think they're going to be as good as they've ever been. The problem is they go, we don't know how the hell we're going to practice.
Right.
So from a coach's perspective, when you enter the unknown of how do you practice with, what, 9-10 scholarship guys, adding another one is really quite beneficial.
Yeah, and like the thing is people – you know, people might look at that and say, oh, 10 guys, you know, you're fine. It's two teams of five, and you can put walk-ons in there. But, like, what you have to understand is throughout the course of the season, you know, Edmund's not going to practice a decent amount or whatever because his knee's sore or something. You know what I mean? Like, your star guys, you need to give them days off, especially if they're nicked up, bruised. There's always going to be someone kind of sitting out. It's nice to have a few extra bodies that aren't walk-ons, that are like high-level athletes that can really kind of push your guys out there on the court. And especially, you know, like having a guy like Rashid Gaston last year was a big help to Xavier because it was a guy who, even though he had to sit out, he was hungry and he's in there fighting, and that's his only game. He doesn't get to go out and play, you know, that road game in the Big East. So that day in practice when he's battling against Jalen or James, he's going all out. And I think that really was beneficial to the post players last year. So you can see how that can help things out. Paul Scruggs, he was here last weekend. He came for team camp. It wasn't like, you know, a big visit deal. But and at this point, really, like, he's been to campus. I don't think there's a whole lot that Xavier needs to do with Paul Scruggs. They've been recruiting him hard for years now. They're one of the top schools in the mix. What do you think? I mean, is Xavier the leader? Is it Indiana? We've heard those two schools. There's also like Louisville, Michigan State have also been in the mix. Where do things currently stand with Scruggs, even though I don't think this one's going to end soon?
Yeah, you know, the plan all along, and everyone's been made aware of this from Paul and his AAU coach and his parents, is this is going to be not before August. I would put it at 2% chance he decides before July. But obviously 2% isn't high. But right now, all indications are Xavier and Indiana, with Louisville running third, Michigan State running fourth. Unless East Lansing moves about 2 hours closer to the south side of Indianapolis, I don't see him going to Michigan State. Louisville, they're in there, but they're behind. Right now, pretty much every source will tell you Xavier's the leader. If he had to decide today, it would be Xavier. That said, he doesn't have to decide today. So that gives Indiana a chance, and obviously Indiana's done well against Xavier in the past on the recruiting trail. So that's something you got to look at. That said, you know, for Paul, I think he likes the idea of how Xavier would use him. He likes the relationship he has with Travis Steele and Chris Mack, the way Xavier's recruited him, the success Xavier's had with guards like him. So we'll see what happens. But if there was one kid I think is closest to being a Musketeer right now, it would be Paul Scruggs.
You mentioned how Xavier uses their guards, and it's kind of interesting because I was actually talking to Eric Hunter, a 2018 guard that was great at team camp yesterday. I was talking to his high school coaches, and they were talking about how Xavier is his only big offer right now, and they were the first school to offer him, so that obviously helps them. But they were saying he really likes Xavier right now because of the way they've sold how they use their guards. And they've almost taken this kind of Rick Pitino approach. You know, a lot of people have always said, like, Rick Pitino doesn't necessarily recruit true point guards. He always has these kind of combo guards, these athletic guys that could be scorers, whatever. Xavier's kind of building that same type of reputation. It seems like that's how they're selling it to future guards as well. You know, you have a guy – I mean, they had Samaje. You have a guy like Quentin Gooden coming in now who's kind of in that mold of, like, maybe he's not a point guard, but we're always going to play at least another combo or point guard type of player with him, so it's not as big of a concern. And the same thing with Eric Hunter, really good scorer. So I think Scruggs kind of fits in that mold. Like, is he a pure classic point guard that's super distributor? Like, nah, maybe not. But he's this big, tough, athletic, rugged guy that can make plays, that can also score, that can defend. So I think, you know, Xavier has kind of done a good job of selling that idea to him. And you mentioned that as well. So it's just something sort of interesting with how they're recruiting all these guards and kind of selling them on playing together.
Xavier got to the Big East, one thing that they really noticed is just the size of and athleticism of the guards, and they've wanted that, and that's what they're really focused on right now.
Elias Harden, another name that he came for an unofficial visit this weekend. He wasn't here for team camp. He was just here for a visit. We've been hearing a lot of sort of recent momentum with Xavier in the Harden recruitment. I think the plan all along has been for him to take things through July. So I don't think we're like about to see a commitment really soon, but from everything we've heard and after this visit, it sounds like X is in a really good spot with him.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting here with Elias Harden is I don't think a lot of kids like to stay close to home. I actually think he wants to get a little further from home. Auburn had a chance to lock this up early, and they didn't do it. And because of that, I think Auburn's going to be fighting an uphill battle, and that's really good news for Xavier. And then he plays on an AAU team where Darius Perry, who's a one-time Xavier target, he shoots a lot. And elite 2018 recruit Zion Williamson shoots a lot. So Harden's not going to have a chance to showcase himself as much in July as a lot of kids. That's just the reality of the situation. He's going to be the third option on his AAU team. And that can really play well for Xavier because it might keep one of the, you know, blue blood schools from really jumping in. Also, you have a situation with these June visits. There's one of two situations. One, the kid's coming on a visit to potentially commit, like a Jared Ritter. Or you're having a kid on a visit to really cement yourself as one of his leaders to hope to lock it up after July. That was the situation with Elias. Pretty much everyone knew it going in. So you're going to see and Xavier hit it out of the park from what I'm told. They did a great job. And I think they're the leader for Elias Harden. Again, leader doesn't mean getting, but it means leader going into July. And this is one where Pegues has done a good job. Mac's done a good job. And they've really sold the kid on how he would be used, surrounding him with slashers and drivers and just his versatility, the versatility of the class and things of that nature.
Absolutely. Snow, we've kind of hit on the big storylines, I think, right now in recruiting, sort of the names with the most buzz. But this has kind of been a topic off and on the message board with people asking some questions and also us putting some notes out there. But what is, you know, what's the current situation with the bigs? We've thrown some new names out there, at least. There are a few names circulating that Xavier's recruiting. But again, it just, there's not a ton of them out there to begin with, and that didn't seem to be a big focus for Xavier early on when they started recruiting this 2017 class. So where do things currently stand with post players?
I think there's three in the top tier right now, and then a fourth in Derek Culver, who they would like to get to the top tier, but I'm not sure that they can get. The three in the top tier would be Jericho Sims, Nate Watson, and Sterling Manley. In terms of most likely to get, I think it would be Sterling Manley, Jericho Sims, Nate Watson. Realistically, I don't think they can get Nate Watson without getting Najee Marshall. If they get Najee, that gives them the chance with Nate, because I think Maryland leads, Miami second. Xavier's got work to do. They need a hook that no one else has, and that hook would be his friend and teammate Najee Marshall. Sterling Manley, you know, I think if Xavier pushes, they have a real good shot to land him. I think he's a kid who'd like to stay close to home. Kid from the Columbus area. It's just Chris Mack's never seen him play a game of basketball. And
what's your personal opinion of Manley? Because he's a guy, you know, that's kind of not a lot of people have seen him, I don't think, with his injury history and everything. So what would be your take? Is he good enough right now?
I wish I knew. he played really well in front of me, and then he snapped his leg like a toothpick a month later. So it's like, you know, it was intriguing to see in January him play so well, but it was really the first time I had a chance to see him play, and I'm not going to jump to any conclusions. By that same token, I'm not a doctor, but I just don't understand how you can literally break your leg in half where the bone is sticking out in late February, early March, and then have any way of being effective on a basketball court in July.
But that's the plan right now.
He's going to play in July. Yeah. He's going to play with Indiana Elite. He's playing in July. I go back to Jordan Seibert. It almost took him 18 months to come back and look like something even resembling the same player. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they had exactly the same injuries, but I think it was roughly the same. So if you think you can take Sterling, redshirt him, get him back normal, I think that has a chance to be really good. But I just have such a limited knowledge base. Jericho Sims is a big athletic dude. Now, he needs to play tougher down low, but he's a big athletic dude with a lot of upside, and he's one of the quietest human beings to ever walk on the planet. So when you talk to him, you don't get any sense of anything. But I think Xavier feels pretty good about where they are in that situation. His dad played at Minnesota, but Minnesota's a weird deal right now. And even though the kid's from Minnesota, he doesn't seem to be leaning towards the Gophers.
So you think it probably this is another one that's going to at least go through July before we get much of a feel?
That seems to be the plan right now. And unless he, you know, takes a visit here in the next week or two, and I don't think that's possible because I think Mac's in, like, Cuba or something, I think this one's going to go through July.
I'm interested to hear a little more on Derek Culver as well, just because that's a name that obviously Xavier was recruiting early on fairly heavily. And then I didn't hear his name hardly at all for the last few months. Now you're saying you think he's kind of back in the mix as maybe a fourth guy that they might not be able to get. What's kind of the latest on the recruitment of Derek Culver?
You know, Derek consistently has mentioned them. I think they felt they weren't in a great position, so they kind of focused elsewhere. But now, just knowing how big this class is going to be, I see them saying, hey, let's keep on swinging with Derek. You know, he's in the state. Rashid Gaston's having a great time. They go to the same high school, yada, yada, yada. Now, I think West Virginia is going to be tough to beat there. And maybe if Arizona has a shot and Florida. But, you know, I think that's someone Xavier's going to be watching in July and kind of maybe try to get an August visit out of and see if they can't sneak one. But I think that'll be very tough.
All right, so I mean, I think that kind of wraps up the post guys that they're in there on, but let's keep it going with sort of this depth chart of recruiting and look at some of the forward names. This we kind of spoke on this earlier, and now it's an interesting situation. They've already taken Jared Ritter, who is 6'7". He has good size. He's not a bad athlete. He's not a good athlete. He's just okay. He can really, really shoot the basketball. I don't know how much else he can do. I think the thought process is for Xavier, he's really thin right now. You need to get him bigger, bulkier, tougher. And you hope he becomes a guy who can rebound, knock down threes, and maybe improve. He understands how to play. He gets how to cut and is unselfish and all that stuff. He can pass. So maybe he improves his handle a little bit and becomes more of one of those skilled face-up forward types of players. I'm not sure, you know, how realistic all that is, what his ceiling is, but I think it kind of makes sense, especially in a big class. But let's look at some of these other forward names. Obviously, the top two guys on the list, Chris Wilkes, Kamani Lawrence, both ranked. They've been on them for a while. Where do you see things with those two guys?
You know, with Chris, it's going to be a long recruitment. Obviously, getting Paul would help. Paul Scruggs would help with Chris. Xavier, Indiana, Michigan. Kid keeps talking about visiting UCLA. Arizona's getting involved a little bit. Maryland's involved, but I don't see him going to Maryland. Michigan State's trying to get involved there a little bit. So there's a lot of options with Chris, but Xavier's done a real good job. And as I said, getting Scruggs would help. But I think this – you're talking a potential late decision. And by late, I mean winter, December, January, February, or maybe even to the spring. I think that's possible. So – which could be real good for Xavier if they can get their five early and then kind of – go guns blazing on Chris for the sixth spot. That I think in their perfect world, that's what would happen.
And it works with a kid like that because he's a top tier recruit. I mean,
he doesn't care about the depth chart.
Right. It makes no difference to him how many guys you have in front of him. He knows he's going to play. So that is kind of the ideal guy to look at late. What do you think about Kamani?
You know, I'll say this. With Jared Ritter's commitment, I personally think it took Jamal Cain and Jordan Nwora out of the mix. Because they're both kind of those two are kind of the same type of guy where they don't really dribble it. They're just going to shoot from three and play the power forward spot, which I think is what Ritter is. So I can't see them taking Kane or Nwora with Ritter, but I don't know that they necessarily view it the same way. So then you have Kamani Lawrence, who I don't think is an ideal fit with Ritter, but I think would work.
Mm-hmm.
And because you could put them out there together. Kamani could guard the better forward. Ritter could guard the worse forward. Ritter's more of a shooter. Kamani, while he is a good shooter, has a little bit of game off the dribble, is a better athlete, a little bit tougher. So I think they could work together even if it's not an ideal pairing. And, you know, as we've said, Xavier Creighton are in there. I haven't heard much buzz with USC or Texas lately. So it could be a situation where, you know, Xavier and Creighton are battling it out, and we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, the thing about Kamani, and I haven't seen him probably as much as you have, but he almost has that, like, point forward mentality on offense where he can really make plays and distribute and score in different ways. I don't think there's much of an issue pairing him with Ritter, but at the same time, like, I get there's some similarities there and some overlap, so it kind of makes sense. With Kane, he was obviously at team camp yesterday, didn't have a great showing from what I saw, but it did sound like, you know, Xavier still views him as a target. I think maybe they have a little more optimism about him playing as a three in the future. I don't quite see that yet at this point. I don't think his handle's nearly good enough. So I think that's still one they're going to continue to pursue, but I would agree with you that I don't think you can afford to take Kane with Ritter. So let's move on to the wings. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Najee Marshall. We've talked about Elias Harden. So, Snow, I think that the next guy in that mix would be Jermaine Samuels.
Yeah, I mean, I think depending on how you – this is where it gets interesting. Najee Marshall could be classified as a forward as well. Right. And then Nojel Eastern could be like a guard or a wing. Jermaine Samuels certainly in there. He's athletic. He's versatile. And he's not a very good shooter, but he is a scorer. He likes to attack. He's very aggressive. He's going to be a long, athletic, versatile guy who can defend multiple positions. And he's someone Xavier's done a lot of work with recently. And then, you know, I would put Nojel Eastern in here. Obviously, Xavier's as good a shot as anybody. Now, this can be an unpredictable recruitment. And one thing about Nojel is he's kind of that, like, playmaking kind of versatile guy who I think you kind of put him and Najee in the same box in terms of they don't shoot it great, but they're versatile. They make plays. They're bigger people. I think Nojel at NBA camp measured at like 6'6", 215.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a big kid who makes plays, and you know, he just brings all sorts of versatility to the table.
My opinion, though, I would gladly take Eastern and Marshall if I could get them both. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to.
Yeah, both of those dudes are really good, and they do a lot of things. Unfortunately, shooting the ball is neither one of their strengths. But Alex O'Connell, again, there's local ties here. Interesting situation. Where do you think things sort of shake out with him?
I guess he's supposed to visit at the very end of the month.
Yeah, I think the 30th.
And it, you know, assuming that takes place, you know, that gives Xavier a shot. Right now, Arizona State and Ole Miss are the two schools you hear the most. But assuming, you know, the local ties mean something to him, it puts Xavier in a position to pick up a lot of ground. This is a kid who's a high-level athlete and a high-level shooter. He was great at NBA camp. He's scoring a little bit more off the dribble now. I like his ability. And he's got good size at 6'5", 6'6". So to me, this is a kid like Xavier has to push on, given that, you know, now would you probably take him and Elias Harden? Yeah, maybe, if you don't think you can get Najee and Nojel. But, you know, to me, he's kind of that shooting wing where they want to get one of him and Elias Harden, big shooting wing with size.
Yeah, I think either one of those guys kind of really fill in nicely for after – you know, life without JP and Trayvon, it kind of really helps you out there. Some of these other names, I don't know. There's sort of several wings here still in the mix. I think some of the top guys, Thomas Allen is a newer name that we haven't heard as much about until recently. Do you think X is in the mix here seriously, or is this kind
I think
of
they're
more
in the mix,
one
you
of the
know,
names?
This is a kid, he plays for Garner Road, which is sponsored by David West. He's going to go to Brewster Academy, obviously a place that Xavier's gotten a lot of players. And he's kind of like a 6'1 Miles Davis type. Now, he's a better athlete than Miles is. But he might be one of the best shooters in the class. He was really impressive shooting the basketball at NBA camp. And he doesn't seem too far along in his recruitment, and even though NC State's offered, he doesn't seem completely blown away by it, and they're local. And he's talking about taking visits to St. Louis and Texas A&M, so obviously that shows he's open to some things. It wouldn't surprise me if Thomas Allen's a kid that Xavier really makes a lot of ground up with in July and really tries to get seriously involved with and potentially even get a visit in August.
And Shondi Brown, another name, we had talked about him on the last podcast or the podcast before where we were recapping recruiting, and he's another guy that there are local ties there, and it's a guy that Xavier's kind of jumped in a little late on, but had made up some ground quickly. I think they're legitimately in the mix, but it doesn't necessarily seem like it's a recruitment that's going to be moving too quickly. So I think you're going to hear more play out about some of these top names first. And, you know, if Shondi Brown's still on the board and Xavier's still looking for guys, you could quickly see him kind of rise up and become that priority target here on the wing. I think it could be a guy that they get pretty seriously involved with. They're definitely recruiting him hard right now. Brandon Randolph, another name at the top of the list. I mean, he's as talented as any wing they're recruiting, but that's just, at this point, you have to assume that's an extreme long shot for X, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, Brandon won't talk about any schools publicly, but I just tend to think Xavier's going to be down the list with that one.
Yeah. Any other names here that you feel are worth mentioning on the wing?
Greg Elliott's still going to be in the mix. They're going to watch him a lot in July and kind of try to make a call there. If Xavier offers, they're probably the team to beat. Then a kid I think, and you know more about him than me, is Tavion Hollingsworth. If he has a strong July, I think he could play himself into an offer as well. He's someone the staff is definitely intrigued with.
Yeah, I think Hollingsworth, he's just a Kentucky kid. I think definitely that's a situation where it's probably you miss on a guy or two because he's under the radar and he's not getting the same type of AAU exposure as these other kids. I don't think he has a recruitment that's necessarily going to blow up big time. So, and Xavier already has kind of recruited him. They feel they're in a decent position. So I think it's one of those where you see a guy or two go off the board first that they wanted. Maybe they start making a more serious run at him. Right now, I think there's just a little bit of concerns. Like he's got to get bigger, stronger, all of those things. But he can really score it. He's a skilled kid, kind of a fun game to watch. So he'd be an intriguing guy if they do decide to get more serious about him. That probably wraps up the wing. Snow, looking at the point guard, combo guard, we've talked about some of these guys already with Paul Scruggs specifically. Quade Green, where do things stand with Quade Green? Because obviously a highly ranked recruit.
You know, surprisingly, it sounds like Luke Murray has Xavier in a really solid position with Quade Green. Now, is beating Kentucky and Duke easy? No. But Xavier's put in a lot of work, and they appear in a position where they could, you know, at least get a visit out of him. So he's not a name to completely take off the board, but you know, and even certainly keep a close eye on, but it's going to be tough. There's no question about that.
And again,
but Xavier's in there.
He's playing on the same AAU team with Brandon Randolph, Muhammad Bamba. So extreme exposure. Every time he plays well, every high major school sees him play well. And we're talking about blue bloods. So that, again, that's why it's going to be so difficult. Couple other names. No, Jordan Davis, Xavier's offered, he's visited. Where do things stand with Jordan Davis in your opinion?
Yeah, I think Xavier's near the top of the list. Significant mutual interest. This was a kid. This was one of those June visits that was more of a getting to know you, try to put ourselves in good position visit. And Xavier's going to track him a lot in July. I think there's a chance Alex O'Connell and him will be AAU teammates. So that is something to keep an eye on. And I think you'll see Jordan Davis, you know, certainly Xavier will make a call in July and figure out, hey, is this a guy we want to push as hard as we can for and go from there.
I don't know if we've really talked about Davis as much in terms of his game on anything. We've, you know, had a few lines and Nuggets posts or whatever. But what's your take on Davis's game for those who just really aren't familiar with him?
He's kind of a combo guard, got good size, probably in the 6'3 range. Pretty good athlete, can get places on the court, decent to pretty good shooter. Kind of does everything at a solid level, nothing at a standout level. And, you know, he's a kid with a lot of potential who hasn't quite put it all together yet, and it'll be interesting to see if that does happen.
Final name probably in this group that is a kind of a serious target right now, McKinley Wright. What's the latest on Wright's recruitment?
Iowa State certainly done probably the most work here, and they might lead. McKinley Wright, he's a tough kid, really tough kid. Gets into the lane, pretty good passer, can score a little bit. Plays on the Minnesota D1 team, or D1 Minnesota with Jericho Sims, so Xavier will be watching him a lot. They like McKinley. I think, you know, at this point in time, it's kind of like, well, we'll know what Paul Scruggs is going to do in early August most likely, and we can go from there and keep pushing with these other guys and hope we get Paul and not have to worry about it. But if they do have to worry about it, because they almost definitely need a point guard if you look at the roster, And, you know, McKinley Wright will certainly be one of those guys that they're heavily scouting and heavily involved with.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, we've mentioned kind of four names here at the point guard, combo guard position. There are certainly more names that we've talked about on the message board. You guys can obviously read up on all of those. But I think this kind of gives you a good overview at each position. It's better than like a hot board to look at. This kind of gives you a better idea of each position, some of the top guys they're in on right now, and how things could unfold here. Snow, are there any other just overall thoughts about this 2017 class? I know we talked about it, you know, a month ago, but has anything else sort of changed? Do you see anything else evolving here in 2017?
Yeah, I see them, you know, at first the staff was going to take, you know, like going to be real picky with four or five guys. And now I think they are full on. We're taking as many kids as we can get. We don't care. We're just going to get as many talented pieces as possible, and the more the merrier.
Yeah, I love that strategy, though, honestly. And I also love the, like, not caring about, oh, we've got to get this guy to do this and this guy to do that. Just being like, let's find pieces that we really like that can play, and we'll figure it out. Like, we've been able to do that no matter what we've been dealt through our own recruiting or scenarios out of our control. And yet they've always found a way to make it work together and bring the best out of their most talented pieces. So I like for this staff the idea of just get talented guys, make it work afterwards. You'll figure it out. So I think that does it for another recruiting recap. Thanks for listening, everyone.